likely, just because their quarterback situation, they're most likely to be beaten or to have a lapse.
And we also know this weekend, which was rivalry weekend, there's always weird upsets that just happen.
Strange ones. Yeah, chaos happens.
Chaos, and it's like, what? Florida beat Florida State, or
as long as it don't happen to you.
That's exactly well. That's right. Good. That's where you got
to. As long as it don't happen to you.
You know, be where your feet are, as they say. Mm-hmm. You got to win your game here with Texas Tech, who are 1-3 in a row coming into this game. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaquero's hotline. He is the senior recruiting analyst and one of our great friends from Inside Texas and On 3 Sports. He is our buddy Jerry Hamilton with a myriad of topics. Hello, Jerry.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
What's up, Jerry?
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, my friend. Hey, let's start there with Texas and Texas Tech.
Same to you guys.
Yeah, for sure, buddy. What's your feel on this game Friday? I mean, it feels like Texas Tech has shifted their style to be more like Texas's. It doesn't bode well when a team is as physical and as talented as Texas. What's just your feel on this game with Joey McGuire against Steve Sarkisian?
Yeah, my first thought is something's got to give, right? I mean, like you said, Texas Tech's become a run-heavy team, not necessarily run first, but run-heavy team. Taj Brooks is one of the best running backs in the country this year. He's been averaging 30 carries a game the last four games. Well, Texas hasn't given up 100 yards rushing in five straight games. So something's got to give in this game. And, you know, for Tech, I give credit to Joey McGuire for saving the season. That could have gone off the rails, the quarterback injuries. And he shifted focus, I think, away from what they ideally want to do offensively to what they need to do to win football games. So you always give a coach credit for that. Well, here they come into Austin, and nobody's run the ball on Texas in Austin or this season, really, including Kansas State. So that's the issue for Tech, is their offensive line good enough to create enough push and create just enough area to work for Taj Brooks? And I don't know if I believe they can do that, or definitely not sustain that, even if they have some early success. The flip side for me is, look, we talked about some stats with Quinn Ewers earlier this week. 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the second half. He's completed 74% of his passes in the second half of this season. If he walks out, if Texas ends the game Friday and Quinn Ewers saw 0 interceptions in the second half this season, I think that's really good news for Texas, because I think that means they'll have had a really good day. They're going to move the ball. I think they're going to be able to move the ball through the air and on the ground enough against Texas Tech. And I like Texas by 10-12.
Well, Jerry, let me ask you, with everything going on at A&M and Aggieland right now, and them obviously trying to close in on who's going to be the next head coach, how is it affecting recruiting? Longhorn fans want to know, how can Texas take advantage potentially of this opportunity in recruiting now that the Aggies are dealing with a little bit of uncertainty?
That's a great question, Rod. Here's the thing. I was told yesterday that A&M's expected to announce their new head coach by next Wednesday at the latest, a week from now. Could be Tuesday. Oftentimes when a program has their next head coach, it trickles out the weekend before. So will it make it to Wednesday? Probably not. Will it make it to Tuesday? I don't know. But the key there is the timing of everything. The portal opens Wednesday. Wednesday, December 4th. Texas A&M has their guy. I believe they have their guy, and they're going to announce it next Wednesday at the latest, probably Tuesday, unless the news leaks on Sunday, Monday. And so with that being the case, then that is a pretty good picture for Texas A&M in recruiting, as far as holding on to their class, getting that coach in front of their key commitments, and then trying to keep as many of their guys at Texas A&M as they possibly can. I've heard Evan Stewart's not going to be one of those. I was told yesterday that they would have to have a big turnaround for him to stick around. I reported both those things on Inside Texas yesterday. But I think A&M announcing their coach next week is a good thing for A&M's recruiting, because you look at a kid like Ty Anthony Smith, who Texas is trying to flip. If this had carried on, if this search carries on for, say, an extra week, then that really puts you in a bind, a new coach in a bind. With this early signing period combined with the portal window, it places a lot of pressure on colleges. If you're going to make a change, And you want to have a thorough search. That doesn't mean you want to make a quick decision. But if you're going to have a change, you have to. You can't sit on this. You have, with the December signing period and the portal window, you have to have a search done quickly, thoroughly, and get your guy and move on. You can't lose recruiting classes anymore, and you can't lose a third of your guys to the portal. Else, it just sets you back 3, 4, 5 years.
Great stuff from Jerry Hamilton. And you mentioned the timeline, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, yeah, the portal opens December 4th, which is the Monday after Championship Saturday. But if I'm correct, when you fire your coach in season, the portal opens for that roster immediately, correct? That's why maybe Evan Stewart won't travel to LSU, and he's already looking around. And that's where you want your coach in place now, or early next week, to kind of, you know, manage the current roster ahead of the actual portal opening the final week, the following week.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And it press and look, it places a premium pressure on your collective groups and stuff. Because, I mean, at this point, let's be real. This is where college football is at. Your collectives are essentially going to the guys saying, "Hey, hang on, don't jump in the portal. We got something coming a week from now." I mean, that's where we're at in college football now, guys. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. So it's a crazy, crazy world in college football. But I think that's why you haven't seen – you know, any A&M guys look jump in the portal officially. Really, they've had one wide receiver, Raymond Cottrell, but you know, you haven't seen a lot of those big names that could possibly jump in because they're being told, "Hey, hang out for another week. We got something coming." Blah 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 blah. So I mean, that's where college football's at. I mean, it's crazy to talk about this stuff, Aaron and Rod, but that's where we're at now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It feels a bit surreal that Texas is there at this time. Let me ask you, something else, Jerry, about recruiting since we're on it. You know, defensive back has seemed to be. Let me know if I'm off here. Has it seemed to be a focus and an emphasis late down the stretch here in recruiting with guys like Xavier, Phil Same, and Kobe Black, or am I just a DB who's seen the world through DB colored glasses?
I think both, and I think that's why you're good at what you do, Rod. There's definitely a focus there, and I actually dropped the news on Inside Texas last night about 10:52 p.m. Xavier Phil Same was on campus at Texas with his dad yesterday. That's big news. Five-star safety committed to Florida. We kind of been wondering when was Texas going to get him on campus. He remains scheduled to be at the Florida State game Saturday. We'll see. I mean, does he show back up in Austin again before December 20th? I'm betting yes is the answer to that, that he's still scheduled to be at Florida Saturday. So this is putting a lot of pressure on Florida. They've already had a couple of guys bounce out of that class, Wardell Mack to Texas being one, Nasir Johnson, D lineman to Georgia being two. Those are defensive guys. All these guys are in Texas groups. I think Florida's going to lose another defensive commitment. I'm not talking about Phil Same, another defensive commitment here in the coming days, next couple of weeks. So that class on defense has taken on some water. So the Texas getting Phil Same and his father on campus yesterday was big. I think Texas leads for Kobe Black, pretty big. They have for a long time. He announces November 29th. But to your point, Rod, absolutely. I mean, Texas has three really good defensive backs in this class right now. Jordan Johnson-Rebell, who's an underappreciated safety out of IMG, originally from Fort Worth Brewer. He is an early enrollee. Wardell Mack flipped from Florida to Texas. He's an early enrollee. Santana Wilson, obviously the bloodlines. His father is a tremendous safety in the NFL, now a front office guy in the NFL. Santana Wilson out of Desert Mountain in Scottsdale, Phoenix area. Really good corner prospect. They will have to add two more, and those two more would be Kobe Black and Xavier Phil Same, if they can get Phil Same flip. So it could end up being a tremendous defensive back class for Texas if the Longhorns close here on Black and Phil Same in the next couple, 3 weeks.
Yeah, great stuff from Jerry right there. Yeah, Kobe Black, the five-star corner from Waco. Phil Same, you've told us before, plays at McKinney. Of course, one parent lives in the Metroplex. The other is in Orlando. And so he's Florida, yeah. Texas. But Florida's kind of falling apart. Texas rising. He's a big-time safety prospect. We'll keep an eye on that. And, of course, the safety from Arizona, his father, Adrian Wilson, the great safety in the NFL. Hey, Jerry, the basketball team, we got to see the Longhorns up close twice against some decent competition, and then a great competition with Louisville, the win, and then the loss to UConn. on. There were some positives and negatives in both, and then the injury to Caden Shedrick that kept him out of the Monday game when they lost. But what did you take as a keen-eye basketball observer, good and bad, for Rodney Terry's really first challenges of this new season?
I think Rodney's going to have an easy job getting his point across defensively, him and Steve McClain and the guys who really worked the defensive side of the basketball after Louisville. I thought, you know, Louisville got too many clean looks. They were in flow too much offensively. And they're a better team. They're not a 4-28 terrible team. I think the Texas fans may look at Louisville and say they're a 4-28 less. They're better than that. They're probably a 12-14 win team this year on some level. But defensively, that's not what – they didn't play up to the standard that Rodney Terry, Steve McClain, and the staff expect. So they'll say the same thing. I thought UConn is going to end up being a blessing in disguise type of game. And I think UConn's a better basketball team than Texas right now. But Texas, I mean, until DSU gets back and these guys get acclimated in, it's hard to, like, sit here and say where Texas can go. But I'll say this. I think it's a blessing in disguise that Caden Shedrick didn't play in that game because it forced Texas to play fast. Dylan Mitchell had to be in attack mode. He had to be a more active player. Tyrese Hunter had to be, even though he was in pain from the fall the night before, he had to be a more attacking downhill player. Texas played, they played faster. They gave up some transition stuff. UConn was hot from three early. They're a really good team. But do you know what that they did? Texas came out after the halftime and put together their best defensive half of the season guarding on the perimeter. And I think we're going to look back and say Texas defensively turned the corner a little bit against Louisville and then in the second half against UConn. So playing without Shedrick, I think that allowed Dylan Mitchell to play faster, Texas to realize, okay, this is what we can be, guys. Now we get Shedrick and DSU back in the fold. We're going to continue to play fast with these guys. I think Texas is averaging about 73.2 possessions per game right now. I ideally want to see that number around 76.5, 77 with this team. I think if Texas plays to that level tempo with the parts they have a chance to be really good late in the year.
Jerry Hamilton, Inside Texas, the senior recruiting analyst, both football and basketball expertise, without a doubt. And, yeah, Texas plays Wyoming Sunday afternoon, and then Texas State next Thursday ahead of a game with Marquette on December the 6th. Marquette just beat number one.
Look at
how about that?
Getting after Bill Self last night. Got in his face a little bit, Aaron.
That was scrappy. Scrappy Shaka. That was good. Yeah, his team might rise to number one after that performance.
Boom,
they play Purdue today at the Maui Invitational Final. Texas could be walking in a week or so from now to 2 weeks from now playing a number one team in the country and their former coach, Shaka Smart. Yeah, Wyoming Sunday at 2, Texas State next Thursday night, then next the following Wednesday is the Marquette game on the road in the Big 12, Big East battle. Hey, Jerry, thanks so much, man. I know we always appreciate it and love doing the work with you guys at Inside Texas and the YouTube channel there. But have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Same to you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks,
all right,
Jerry.
There it is. There's a wealth of information.